والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سن بسنته يوم الدين. أما بعد, my dear respected brothers, sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. فضل الله تبارك وتعالى. We spoke last week about الوصية. الوصية, the good written will which you leave it for your family members. And we found that Allah تبارك وتعالى, this is شريعة الله عز وجل. And we explained last week the ulama divided between it is wajib if you have the money and you left enough money for your children, you have right in Islam to contribute up to third of your assets and the property. And this hadith lead us about the third, the Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu arda, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'd yaqulu Sa'd fi al-Bukhari wa Muslim, aadani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet, he visited me fi hajjat al-wada', when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the hajj, hajjat al-wada'. And Sa'd radiallahu anhu arda, he was proceeding before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Mecca from Medina, but he got sick. Sa'd himself, he said radiallahu anhu arda, the Prophet, he visited me while I was sick. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, he spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he visited him. Qala ya Rasulullah, qad balagaka ma tara min al-waja' alladhi asabani. He saw me, how I suffer in my illness, how I suffer from the pain, from this illness. And liya ibna, I have a daughter. Wa ana indi mal, and I have wealth and property. Qala Sa'd, ya Rasulullah, afa'usi بثلثي مالي للفقراء. Can I contribute two third of my wealth to the poor? فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا, you cannot do that. فقلت يا رسول الله, فهل أتصدق بشطره؟ O messenger of Allah, shall I contribute half of my property, half of my wealth? فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا. The Prophet said no. قال أفتصدق بثلثه, shall I contribute third of my wealth to the poor? فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم, نعم, والثلث كثير, and the third of your wealth is too much. Meaning this is a maximum, but you could do less than that. And we explain, walhamdulillah tabaraka wa ta'ala, last week, if you have not enough, you cannot give because it's priority for your family members. Because the rest of the hadith, qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la in yatruk ahadakum awladahu warathatahu aghniya khayrun lahu min an yatrukahum fuqara yatakaffafun. It's better for you to leave some for your family members or your inheritors. You leave some for them better than you leave them fuqara, poor, to ask the people after you die. So priority will be for the family members. Related to this and understand, because this is the most complicated topic in Islam. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, من تعلم علم الفرائض فقد أوتي شطر العلم أو شطري العلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever understand this area of علم الفرائض, meaning he collect half of the knowledge, it's very important. So therefore we need to study this very careful. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so we know al-wasiyya in the beginning of Islam, when the man used to die, when he die, he used to leave money for his son and his parents. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the beginning of Islam anzala ayat surah al-Baqarah, ayah from surah al-Baqarah, ba'da a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, kutiba alaykum idha hadara ahadukum al-maut in taraka khayran al-wasiyyatu lil-walidayni wal-aqrabina bil-ma'ruf haqqan ala al-muttaqin. Because the people, they used to exclude their next kin. It means the closer family. They did not give them anything when they die before the Islam. So in the beginning of Islam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as Ibn Abbas in Tafsir al-Quran for this ayah, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma wa ardahuma, kana ar-rajul yusi liwalidayhi dunal aqrabun. The man, he used to give or to write a goodwill for his parents and excluded his next kin or the closer family. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this ayah to remember that al-wasiyya, you could go for the, up to the third for your next kin or your what? Your closer family. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah, explanation of this ayah, the translations, Allah, he said, kutiba alaykum, it's prescribed over you, if the death approaches any one of you and you left something good, to give some of this wasiyya, it's mean to inherit, to give some for your parents and your next kin or your closer family. So this ayah was in the beginning of Islam. But wait a second here. We have hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that we mentioned it last week. We need to compare between this hadith and this ayah. So I know that Allah, he told me, when you write any will or written will, you must give your parents, because he used to give it to be up to the person. He divided the property as he will. He could give 30 here, 40 here, whatever he wants. He could give like the most of it for his parents or for his uncle, as he will. There is no any percentage was prescribed at the time of Allah, of this ayah. Allah, he mentioned only al-wasiyya. So it's up to you, my brothers. You could give 75% for your uncle. It's up to you. And 25% for your parents. It was up to the person himself. But there is a hadith we mentioned it last week. We need to compare between this hadith and the ayah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said also in al-Bukhari, إن الله قد أعطى لكل حق ذي حق حقه فلا وصية لوارث. Look at this hadith here. Because the people, the ignorant, they took this hadith and they make like comparison between this hadith and they say the hadith contradicting the ayah. But in a matter of fact, Allah will help you when you open your mind to understand the deen without any estimate or without any evaluation by your own your self. What is the hadith said? Allah give every person his portion. The one who has right to inherit from your inheritance, Allah give him the percentage. طيب. But the end of the hadith say a word, لا وصية لوارث. No written will be prescribed for anyone who deserve inheritance. Wait a second here. Allah, he said in the ayah, wasiyya for your parents and your next kin or the closer family. The Prophet ﷺ say, la wasiyyata. No, don't ever write any written will for anyone who deserve to inherit. And Allah, he mentioned in the ayah, Your parents deserve actually inheritance or not. So, but the Prophet ﷺ says, "La wasiyya liwarith." No written will for anyone who deserve portion of your inheritance. But Allah, he said in ayah, "Al wasiyya for the parents and the closer family." Is there any contradictions between the hadith and the ayah?
No.
The Prophet said no, and they shook in the hand. But let's open this dialogue and be careful about this. First of all, we need to know that this ayah came in the beginning of Islam, ayat al-mawaris qad nasakhatha. There is the ayah came later in Surah An-Nisa, correct this rule. The ayah of Surah An-Nisa, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he said, لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ وللنساء نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون مما قل منه أو كثر نصيبا مفروضا. This ayah came as Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. He said this ayah correct the حكم, the command in the first ayah, because you are not supposed in Islam to get to call anyone, يا شيخ محمد, come and write down here, I will give my parents 1/6, I will give my son to exactly so and so, I will give my daughter son. You cannot write in your will any percentage which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala already described in Surah An-Nisa. But the wasiyah, the will be for the closer family. Maybe you have up to 30% or 35% to give it my uncle, and my uncle is not supposed to take any money from my will. He's not in. For example, my uncle is not inheritor. He's not inheritor. Why I give my? If you have the child, son, your uncle is not that. You cannot take any percentage. Your uncle from your mother, your uncle from your father cannot have any percentage. The only percentage will be described for who? For who? Your son, your daughter, your parents, and your grandparents, if any one of your parents die. My father died, but my uncle is still alive, he's still alive. So it will be transferred from your father to your grandfather. My mother, she passed away, and my grandmother, she's still alive. He will. But if your parents, your father and your mother is still alive, they will prevent the percentage or the portion to move it to the grandfather and the grandmother.
The other way too.
Yes, it works the other way too. So we will take this percentage later. But now I could save or write a will for my uncle. He's not in the he doesn't have any percentage of my money. Can I give him some? Yes, it will be wasiyah. But your father, you cannot describe anything for him. Your mother, you cannot describe anything for her. Your wife, you cannot describe anything for her. But you have right to transfer this money to the closer family up to how percentage, up to how many? 1/3 of it. And the 1/3 is too much. But we come back again. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala send ayat al-mawarith. The ayah number 11 in Surah An-Nisa, Allah send it to correct and complete the rule for the wasiyah or the goodwill which you describe it for your parents and your close family. Allah replaced this ayah to ayat al-mawarith. لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. The male will have double than the girl, or like twice of the female. This is described, and Allah describe all the percentage for all your relative, those who deserve a portion of your inheritance. You cannot write it them, or you write a good will for them. So for example, somebody said, you know, I will write more for my daughter because my daughter so and so, give her third. You cannot do that. But who actually? The closer family. So anyone who deserves a percentage of your will, you cannot describe him to give him wasiyah or up to the third of your inheritance, because they already Allah described for them what? the percentage. You cannot add anything for them because already they have portion of your goodwill. Come back to this hadith again. My question before you leave is, the hadith can correct the rule of the Quran?
No.
That is the number one. Listen for the hadith again. Allah said in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, كتب عليكم إذا حضر أحدكم الموت إن ترك خيرا الوصية للوالدين والأقربين. If the death approaches any one of you, if you leave anything good, money behind you, assets, you give it to your parents and your close family. طيب. The Prophet, he said in a hadith, لا وصية لوارس. No wasiyah, no goodwill for anyone who deserves a portion of your money. But Allah, he mentioned in the ayah, your parents. And your parents include your what? Family who deserve what? Inheritance. Can the hadith give rule the hadith or complete the ayat of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, or to give a new rule? The ulama divided to two sections. The ilm is amana. We have to. This is a big discussion. I just like it to make it simple for you. May Allah tabaraka ta'ala help us to give you clear idea. Now, so the first group of ulama has said yes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in huwa illa wahyun yuh. Who give you the Quran? Allah. Who give it to you in the land? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who give you the hadith? So the Quran is from who? From the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Allah. And the hadith also from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from Allah. What is the difference between the hadith and the Quran? Both of them come from Allah. The difference between the Quran is the fixed word came from Allah through Jibreel to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-hadith came from Allah through Jibreel, teaching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Allah, he left the word in the hadith and the action for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to choose the word, the explanation. Now, so therefore the first group of ulama said yes, the Prophet is wahy, because Allah, he said in huwa illa wahyun yuha, himself is a revelation to be revealed from Allah tabaraka ta'ala. So he's author. So there is nothing wrong if the hadith came to complete and explain this witness of Al-Quran. I'm coming. Don't cut me, please. Then after that, his author, if he bring a hadith and give a complete meaning or to add, because he has a permission from Allah to give you constitution. Somebody gonna tell me, give us example, ya Sheikh Mustafa. We're still confusing. I'm coming, Sheikh. Don't cut me, please. Don't give us explanation, because this is not my opinion. Remember, this is the ulama. So the ulama said the Prophet is author to complete and also to give explanation and more detail. Let's we open some hadith to see the explanation time. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, for example, قال حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم. Allah said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ya Sheikh Sharif, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَامْ upon you to deal with what? Al-Mayta, the dead, wa-dam, and all kind of blood, right or not? We are haram to deal, to eat any dead meat or what? Any blood. Aye. Listen for the Hadith al-Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in Bukhari, عن عبد الله بن عمر, أحلت لكم ميتتان ودمان أما الميتتان فهما الميتتان فهما السمك والجراد وأما الدمان فهما الكبد والطحال. Here is a hadith. Wait a second. Break. We know that Allah in general meaning, he said it's haram for you to eat with the dead meats and blood. But look what the Prophet ﷺ said is lawful for you to eat two dead and to eat two blood. This is a hadith. طيب, what is the tube dead and to blood? The fish and what? And أما الميتتان فهما السمك من the fish والجراد.
الجراد اللي هو شيخ ليه؟
Locust. The صحابة they used to eat that. It is the dead. After you see it dead, you could eat it. The fish. Therefore, there is a, as I told you before in this masjid, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, because he moved to Kufa and he did not receive enough ahadith because of the communication, and this great alim, he became author to give ijtihad. And when they ask him, Ya Imam, if I found over the water while I'm sailing boat and I found dead fish over the water, can I eat it? The Imam said, haram. What's your evidence, Ya Imam? He said, Allah said in the Quran, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةِ. Because in the general meaning in Quran, Allah said, it's haram for you to eat any kind of dead. But the hadith came to say it, and the Prophet ﷺ, he told us what? Halal to eat what? The dead. If I go to the fish store and I found the fish is dead, or forget about the fish store, if I am in a water and I found a fish dead over the water, can I eat it or not? Yes. Hadrat Uthman, he was in a battle and he has 300 companions. While they was walking in a shore, they found a big fish. They in Bukhari, they ate from this dead fish for 9 days. All the Sahaba. So the hadith came to explain, to give extra detail. Yes, you could go and eat the dead fish. Even if you find the fish is dead over the water, you are permitted to eat dead fish. The Imam rahimahullah, he did not catch this hadith. And the two dam, and you are lawful to eat two kind of blood. I'm asking Sheikh Ali, if you go to the butcher and you like to eat liver, liver is halal or haram? Liver. Cow come from cow. My children, they need to eat liver. They exactly, so subhanallah, so my children like to eat spleens. You know the spleens is? You know what spleen? Huh? Yes. Tuhal, spleen. Can I eat it? I slaughter the goat for the qurbani and I have the liver and I have the spleen. Can I eat it to the, or this is haram? Okay, the liver is blood and the spleen are blood or not? So the Prophet came to give a special rule that is permitted for you to eat. But the ayah told me in general, haram to eat with any kind of dead, including the fish, including the chicken, the goat, everything is haram. But the Prophet came to make it specified exceptions to give us two dead and two blood. So his author. Example number two. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said exactly, وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ. It's haram. Ya Sheikh Sa'd, I married a woman and she has a sister. Can I go and marry her sister? It's haram. But when I can marry her sister, if the wife what? Dead. Bible's gave. Alhamdulillah, we know about this. This is ayah from the book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But look what is the hadith said. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned also another hadith to give us more detail, more explanation, because he's author to do that. قال sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith, he mentioned about لا تنكح المرأة على عمتها. You cannot marry the woman and you marry her what? Her what? Her aunt. ولا تنكح المرأة على خالتها. You cannot marry the woman and you marry her what? Aunt from her mother. So aunt from the father related to the father and aunt related to what? To the mother. ولا تنكح المرأة على بنت أخيها. And you cannot marry the woman and you go you marry your niece from what? From your brother, from her brother. ولا تنكح المرأة على بنت أختها. And you cannot marry the woman and you marry also the niece related to her sister. right or not? So this Allah تبارك وتعالى وأن تجمعوا بين الأختين and to marry the two sisters together at the same time, but the rule came here from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم through the hadith, you cannot marry the woman and her aunt related to the father, and her aunt related to the mother, and her niece related to her brother, and niece related to her sister. You cannot do that. So the hadith came to give exception of the ayah. Therefore, the first group of ulama, they said, yes, the Prophet, his author, to give explanation of the hadith, and this hadith, because the parents already included the inheritance. So when Allah said, you are not allowed to write any goodwill for your you have right to give a goodwill for your parents and your next kin or your closer family, but the hadith came and said, you cannot do that, to write anything for those who deserve the portion of your money, such as your parents. The ayah mentioned the parents, you could make a right will for them. The hadith said, you cannot give anyone any goodwill or right goodwill for those who are already has some portion of your money, but your wasiyah, your will be for the closer family, your uncle, your niece, you have a child from your exactly son of your brother, whatever it is, you could make it up to the what? Up to the third. Second group of ulama, they say, the Sheikh Ali, la. Which one is higher, the Quran or the hadith? Quran. He said, you cannot bring something lower than lower, which is a hadith. You cannot make it above the Quran, because we have a rule, a stamped rule in Islam, called what? Al-Quran ya'lu wa la yu'la alayhi. Al-Quran is highest thing, and nothing will be higher than this. Therefore, to take you out of this confusion, we could say the word like this, because the ulama, they explained the Prophet, he could do that. But the majority and the conclusion of this area, they said, Al-Quran correct each other. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la taqrabu salata wa antum sukara. Oh, you who believe, don't come to the salah and offer your salah while you are what? Drunk. It was in the beginning of Islam. Later on, the ayah came, إنما الخمر والميسر والأزلام والأصناب الأنصاب رجز من عمل الشيطان. He make the khamr, all the kind of alcoholic product, haram, to reveal or to correct the first rule, because Allah, he took the sahaba step by step from the beginning of Islam, not to cut everything. La, Allah, he took them step by step until the iman became strong in your heart, and then Allah, he send all the rule in Medina. But in Mecca, this is the time of Tawheed, to teach the people Allah, who's Allah, who's the owner of the whole universe, the day of the judgments, everything, until you make them strong first in Aqidah, and then after that the rule came later, and they became ready to accept any rule or any extra. You steal, we will chop your hand. You understand? You make zina, we're gonna stone you. You cannot bring a new one in Islam. Tell him, Akhi, you need to be a Muslim. Okay, listen. If you steal, we're gonna chop your hand. If you make committed adultery, we're gonna put you stone until death. If you drink, we're gonna lash you. He's not gonna accept the Islam, but take them step by step. Therefore, the ulama said, Al Quran only could forgive. Correct rule for the roof previous ayah, but the hadith will explain the sweetness of Al-Quran, because the Prophet ﷺ is author to give also rule, but cannot be higher than the Quran to wash the ayah or to clean the ayah or to correct the ayah, but to give it more explanation. Ask Allah ta'ala to help us, inshallah, to understand the Islam. Ask Allah ta'ala to make all of us qualified to be a good Muslim, inshallah, to enter the Jannah with our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Jazakumullah khair for listening. Subhanakallah wa hamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Somebody need to ask a question. He left. Tomorrow, inshallah, continue with the lecture. Jazakumullah khair.